Hey, welcome, my fellow deplorables, to the show. I got an update from True the Vote, so I thought I would share it with you. This is regarding Greg and Catherine. So True the Vote said that we're living in normal, if we were living in normal times, Catherine would be updating you on the work of True the Vote. However, as many of you heard, she and Greg Phillips were arrested Monday morning, October 31st, 22, for refusing to divulge the name of an FBI confidential informant. My name is Karen. Well, this is coming from Karen, and I am a True the Vote team member. Catherine has asked me from her jail cell to fill you in on the most recent troubling developments. Since it's been a while since our last newsletter, let's review the investigation by True the Vote that has become public in the last few months and has led to standoffs in federal court in Texas this week. Since January of 21, True the Vote has worked to uncover the role of Conish, a Michigan-based election management software company that has appeared to be deep ties to the Chinese Communist Party and has potentially played in the subversion of American elections. True the Vote team has made aware that the personal information of nearly 2 million American election workers was stored on a server in China in violation of U.S. law, as well as Conish's contracts between many states and countries. This information included poll workers' names, addresses, phone numbers, social security numbers, bank accounts, realizing the severe national security implications of the data breach. Greg Phillips and True the Vote immediately turned over the findings to the FBI. For 15 months, Catherine and Greg worked with FBI field agents in Texas on counterintelligence operations to end Knish's involvement in American elections. The FBI already had Knish's on the radar due to questionable activities that extended far beyond U.S. elections. I thought they told us there was no election interference and this was the most perfect election ever, right? That's what we're told. In April of 22, everything changed. Catherine received a phone call on the Texas-based FBI agents who informed her that the FBI's Washington, D.C. office was now involved in the investigation. Great. This is where it gets bad. The Texas agent informed them that it was possible that they were going to be the targets of the FBI. He suggested that the best option was to go public and what they had learned. In August of 22, Catherine and Greg convened a meeting called the Pit. At the event, they told their story for the first time in public to an audience that included citizen researchers, journalists, and law enforcement personnel. In September of 22, Knish's sued True the Vote for defamation, racism, and xenophobia for revealing their findings publicly. The court issued a temporary restraining order to Catherine and Greg that required them, among other things, to provide to connection the names of the individuals who were involved in the discovery of the poll workers' data in China. To put this into context, here's the quote from the recent article and magazine by former CIA operation officer Sam Faddis. Let's imagine that a drug dealer facing criminal charges filed a lawsuit in civil court to make the cops provide the name of a source inside his organization. Would anyone think for a moment that would be a reasonable request? Would anyone have any doubt to the fate of the informant if he was identified? That's how ludicrous this is and how obscene. On October 4th, 22, the company CEO, Eugene Yu, was indicted in California on charges including fraud, embezzlement, and data breach, resulting in the theft of the personal information of election workers in LA County. The arrest was announced by LA District Attorney George Gascon. The arrest was a result of an indictment by a grand jury convened in Los Angeles, which is the nation's largest voting block. LA County is just one is just the first of many counties that True the Vote is working to support. There are far more layers of subversion still to be exposed with this company and potentially many others. October 7, 22. Catherine and Greg's attorney made an initial appearance in federal court in Houston to answer the civil lawsuit by Connects And it was at this time, the hearing, that the judge issued a highly unusual order that Catherine and Greg, through their attorneys, revealed the name of the individual who was originally presented them with the poll workers' data on the server in China. Their attorney reluctantly complied and revealed the name of this individual. October 27, 22, Catherine and Greg appeared in federal court in Houston, prepared to demonstrate that there was a criminal matter in LA County involving Eugene Yu and Connect. The judge refused to consider this evidence and directed Catherine and Greg to reveal publicly the name of the other individual in the hotel room where Greg viewed the poll worker data in January of 21. Catherine and Greg offered to cooperate with the court and Connect's attorney by providing the name of this individual under seal. The judge refused this offer, and at the end of a long day of testimony by Catherine and Greg, the judge found them in contempt of court, and they were provided an opportunity to cure the contempt on Monday, October 31st at 9 a.m. by revealing the name of the second individual in the hotel room. If they did this, not cure it, they would be immediately remanded into custody by the U.S. Marshals. October 31st, 22, Catherine and Greg refused to name the individual who was in the hotel room in January of 21 because he was not involved in the sourcing of the poll worker data. Catherine and Greg strongly believed that this individual's life would be in danger should his name be revealed publicly. They were immediately remanded into custody by the U.S. Marshals Service. In a statement last night, Catherine Engelbrecht said, "Trust, honesty, and respect will always be our highest values regarding both work and our lives. And as a result, we will be held in jail until we agree to give up the name of a person we believe was not covered under the terms of the judge's TRO," which was temporary restraining order. "We ask that you keep us in your prayers. Thank you to those who continue supporting and believing in us and our mission to make elections safe for all parties and for all people. I spoke to Catherine today and she wanted me to pass this on to all of you. She met a woman in prison who said, 'One thing you need to understand is that in this place, your life is not your own.' Catherine was struck by this because it drives home the election day is coming very soon, and right now your life is not your own. You have choices. Choose to vote, choose to be heard. If you give that right away, slowly but surely your life will not be your own," just like the woman told her in prison. "We all have such lives of convenience, and you think it could never happen, like it could never get this bad. And I'll tell you this, it's been a real wake-up call to our justice system, to our federal government. Be heard, be heard. The only way we can do that in a constitutional republic is to vote. Vote, serve, pray. It's like the story in the frog in the pot that's slowly boiling. We are all so comfortable in our daily lives that we do not notice as our freedoms are being taken. We are extremely grateful for the prayers and support of so many people, and this is a critical moment in history, and we have no intention of stopping it now. As CE would say, ever onward." And that's a message from Choose a Vote.